Welcome to Control Intelligence, the control design podcast that goes deep inside the automation and technology that machine builders and system integrators rely on to keep machines humming. I'm Mike Bassador, editor-in-chief of Control Design, and in this episode, I'm joined by Jeremy Pollard, who will be talking about the CISA alert on the PLC attacks at water wastewater treatment plants.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. It's nice to see your smiling face.
And yours as well.
Thank you.
Well, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency issued this past week an alert at the end regarding a significant increase in the cyber threat actors targeting PLCs in the water wastewater sector. And CISA is urging all critical infrastructure owners, operators, and integrators to remove publicly exposed PLCs and other IT or OT devices from the internet ASAP. So threat actors are targeting exposed PLCs, and they've modified passwords to lock out operators and disconnected PLCs by changing IP addresses. And owners, operators, and integrators of Rockwell Micrologix 1400 PLCs specifically should see a notice that Rockwell has issued in order to restore access. So, Jeremy, given these current events, the first question I'd like to ask you is, why are PLCs so susceptible to attacks?
I think you could ask any individual, whether end user or OEM or what have you, the answer to the question, do you password protect your code? The answer would be no, because of multiple access from different people in different departments. So I don't suspect that these threat actors are actually changing passwords. I would suggest that more likely they're initiating a password. So that now all of a sudden you can, you password protect the code, and then you can't get into it, and you can't download, you can't do anything. So I think, and most of the time, and this leads into the other questions that you have, but what people are typically doing is looking at PLC code from a troubleshooting and, you know, perhaps development standpoint remotely. And remotely could be off the factory floor, not in front of a panel or sitting in a coffee shop. Right. So you have to have the ability to edit stuff while it's running. And that sort of it takes away the ability to do these online changes, sort of allows anybody that can access the device to have the ability to enter a password, change code. But also I think for data changes, because I know that document talked about data changes.
Right.
Data changes don't need a password. So you can just go in, like I've written Visual Studio code, and it automatically monitors a certain area in memory. And it compared, because people can change these values.
Right.
And it compared, you know, you read the values, make sure it's within boundaries, because people can go in and actually change a timer preset to 32,000. There's no boundary allocation for that.
Right. Okay.
So the code that I wrote basically says, okay, this timer has to be between 200 and 250. And if it's outside of that range, then you set it to 250. You know, that kind of a mindset.
Right.
But you don't need a password to do that.
Right.
So if you can connect, you can change.
Right. So are you saying like a lot of these PLCs, there was never a password initiated to begin with?
I would suspect that that's the case,
Wow.
because if you set a password up, it's like a password on your email. You can brute force the password,
Right.
and most people aren't going to use 16 character passwords on a PLC.
Right.
And part of the potential issue is that Rockwell had a password that was, if you ran into a password protected PLC, you use this password and it bypasses the password that the systems integrator put in. So it was a blanket password.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Is that true on most manufacturers, or is that
No
Rockwell
idea.
specific? Okay.
The only one I know about was Rockwell.
Sure. Okay. So when did connecting PLCs to, well, I mean, I guess we can say networks, but I mean, I can remember, 20 years ago when, I mean, one of the recommendations of CISA now is a gateway or a VPN. And I can remember, as I'm sure you can, 20 years ago, where that was standard procedure, VPN with a firewall, and you'd open it, when both parties were ready to, okay, we're ready to remote in on that, and then we close it again. And that, I mean, that was very tight security back then. But when did this become a thing where, oh, data is the new currency, and so we need remote connectivity. I mean, was this COVID related, or did this start happening before then even?
Oh, it started happening way before that, Mike. Part of the advent of Ethernet on the factory floor and the advent of networking and OT networks, which gave developers and maintenance staff the ability to access PLC code without actually being in front of it. Whether that's a plus or a minus depends on the application and what it is that you're trying to do. But the thought process behind the security of the PLC network 25 years ago, it's basically security through obscurity. So effectively, nobody knows that it's there. It's not connected to anything. It's air-gapped, effectively. But as we have moved forward, and one of the largest segments of the advantages of remote access has been well documented, and most people don't necessarily know how to do it. Maybe they think VNC is a good way to do it. Log me in was another way that you could get into computers on the factory floor, but not directly to the PLC. So you would have to, in order to use your laptop from a coffee shop, then you have to sign into a service on a server somewhere, which will now connect you from the server to the PLC, in some fashion. And it's this remote access that I think has caused a bit of a blockage, I think, because everything was set up without remote access. And then remote access came in, and then we'll do this to give you remote access. But the one thing that didn't change was the security on the PLC end, i.e., putting in a password, keeping it in the run mode, those sorts of things. They weren't even considered. So now that you've got remote access that can be hacked, the PLC is wide open. And if they've got the software, well, then they can do anything they want.
So what?
That's what's
So,
happening.
sorry.
And I think that's what's happening.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. What type of data? I mean, is it strictly just to be able to remote in to make changes, or is, I mean, it's are PLCs sharing data or receiving data, or why? Are there other reasons why it might be connected to a network or internet facing?
Part of the potential issue, and I've worked on a few projects in water and wastewater. And a water treatment plant is self-contained. In the township that I live in, I was responsible for monitoring the water quality of township-owned wells in 17 different locations.
Okay.
So, 17 different locations, they were producing water for the clients, if you will. And we had to access information from all of these 17 water supply pump houses back to a central monitoring system. So they had to be connected over a network of sort in order to get that information. So I think the advent of using SCADA in a centralized location requires what it is that you're getting data from to be connected to a network somehow. And typically that network is the internet.
The internet, right?
And whether it doesn't matter if it's cell network or wireless of any sort, it as soon as you do that, then you are, setting yourself up for a possible hack.
Do all, I mean, based on your experience there with the water, wastewater facilities, do, I mean, each municipality or region that they vary in sizes, right? I mean, it's not they're not all the same size, and they don't all have the same sorts of resources, right? Some smaller towns might not have a Jeremy Pollard there to be able to troubleshoot some sort of technical problems. I mean, does that mean they're wide open to these kinds of attacks, or might they not have internet facing PLCs in the first place?
I would suggest that a lot of municipalities do not have their own OT
Right.
technology department, and they rely on electrical companies that have PLC and SCADA experience, but typically do not have security experience.
Right.
So the people that are coming in to look after all of their stuff typically are not the same people that you would want to get and organize some level of security for it. And the IT guys typically don't know what's going on unless they are the PLCs and the devices are using portions of their internal network. And then typically what they would do is force them into using a VPN of sorts.
Right. The IT OT struggle resumes
Yes,
as
it does.
previously.
Yes, it does. Boy.
So the, I mean, the answer seems obvious, but what benefit is there to connecting through a gateway or a VPN?
While I'm not what you would call an IT network expert as such, but a virtual private network or VPN, basically allows you to have an authenticated connection to a point in the network. And then what happens at that point is you become a node on that network. And then you can run software on your laptop from a coffee shop as if you were located at the plant. One of the things that I've consulted for a remote access company called Route One. They're a security company, and they provide a service with a smart crypto key that allows you to. It's an ad hoc VPN that attaches to a server or a desktop computer behind the firewall. So typically, what a VPN would, a normal VPN would do, is that you would log into the firewall. And then from there, you're allowed to have access to the network. So being a node on the network can be very inviting, if you will, to man-in-the-middle type attacks at places like coffee shops and hotels and that kind of stuff. So I think the advantage of using the VPN is some level of security or ad hoc security The real issue comes in is that if you lose a laptop, then now you're screwed.
You've just given that note away.
And so the I mean, part of the problem in becoming a node on the network is that if somebody is doing a man-in-the-middle attack, or you lose a laptop, or somebody steals your credentials for the VPN, then they have access to the whole network. And the target, there was a target breach, and it was more on the financial side of things, but they used an air conditioning contractor's
Right.
credentials
I remember
to
that.
get into the network through a VPN, and then they had
Right.
access to everything.
Yeah. And then they went
So,
through the point of sale. And I remember that breach quite well.
at the end of the day, if you have a VPN, it doesn't guarantee that everything's okay. But if you don't have it, that's a problem. But I don't know of any other sort of way of being able to connect
Right.
to a remote network without using one.
Sure.
And there are companies like E1, Tossybox is another one. Even software solutions like VNC and LogMeIn and TeamViewer, they
Right.
all provide encryption and they all provide authentication, which is an absolute must, and multi-factor authentication is should be employed no matter what the heck you're doing.
Right. Yep. Great advice. So what can one final question for you? What can machine builders or system integrators learn from what's happening now and put into practice, maybe make a best practice or take a cautionary note of what's going on and be able to plan better for that?
Again, not being a sort of a network expert per se, but if they need to have access to that PLC, then they have to provide a certain level of authenticated connectivity to the panel. And so that would probably require to have a VPN router in the panel that they set up. They have access to, they share the credentials with the IT department because they would need to let them through the firewall. And then the systems integrator can have access to that panel. And if people, if it, like say it was a Procter and Gamble that has their own PLC staff, well, they would need to access that PLC or that panel through the VPN router. Tofino was a device that Eric Byers et al. Created that actually monitored packets
Right.
and connectivity from certain devices and wouldn't let anything pass through unless it was authenticated and basically allowed to pass through. And I think a VPN router would be sufficient enough to allow that to happen. Again, I think that the shared responsibility that I believe is required from an OEM and the installation people, if it's a systems integrator or even an electrical company and the user, they all have to look at security as being some level of priority. And I've run into places where the PLC has an Ethernet cable in the panel connected to a network. And if somebody wants to connect to that PLC, a person has to go to the panel, actually plug in the PLC, and then they have access to it. When they're done, they unplug it.
Right, yeah.
But again, that's air gapping. But somebody walks in with a laptop, they've got viruses or whatever on the laptop or something running there
Right.
that's not obvious. And USB keys, you have the same issue with that. And so there needs to be a policy put into place that this is what you do, and you leave the PLC in the run mode if it's connected and allowed to be connected to remotely. It's leave it in the run mode.
Right. Great. Fantastic advice. As always, great talking with you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Mike. It's such a pleasure to see you and to talk to you as well. And it will be an interesting time, I think, over the next few months with all of this hacking that's going on.
Yes. I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you, Mike. It's appreciated.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Control Intelligence. If you've enjoyed this episode of Control Intelligence and Endeavor B2B podcast, don't miss our older episodes and subscribe to find new podcasts in the future. You can find our podcast library at controldesign.com, or you can download all episodes on Podbean or via Apple Podcasts or Google Play.